Well, good morning to everyone, or good afternoon, or evening, or whenever it is that you happen to run across this devotional. It's Monday morning in the Shenandoah Valley, and it looks beautiful outside where I am, and I hope it's a good morning, or whatever time of the day it is, for you as well. I'm grateful that you are here with me and that we have this time together. I'm also glad to be back with you for another week of daily devotionals. We've sort of covered a wide array of scripture topics, right? Scripture passages and different topics, or at least a wide array of applications. And good morning, Stacy. I see some people are joining in now. Welcome, everybody. As you think about what we've been over, our main focus last week was on the value of prayer, and specifically, we answered the question, why pray? We did not exhaust the subject by any stretch of the imagination, but today we are moving on nonetheless. Now, where shall we go next? Again, my goal with these devotionals has been to glorify the Lord and at the same time to help you, hopefully, and definitely it has been helpful to me, to focus on some very practical items. We started just before Resurrection Sunday, just before Easter, by going through the timeline of the Passion Week. Maybe you remember that. And then we went on to the value of Bible study and actually spent a couple of weeks focusing on that. Then the last week, we focused on the importance of prayer, right? So I think it's only fitting that we move from Bible study to prayer to praise. Yeah, that's right. We're starting a mini-series just this week on the value of praising God, why we ought to praise the Lord. So that's what we're going to be focusing on, Lord willing, for the next few days. And good morning, everybody else that has joined. Let's go ahead and get started. Why praise God? I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you at least one reason that we're focusing on today. We should praise God because He alone is worthy of our praise. We should praise God because He alone is worthy of our praise. Period. The end. None other. But don't take my word for it. Consider what the Bible has to say on the subject. And y'all, let me tell you something. When I sat down to put pen to paper, as it were, you want to talk about a subject that is all over the scriptures? This is it, right here, that God alone is worthy of our praise. Starting all the way back in Genesis, right? You see it over and over and over again. It's just incredible. God alone is worthy of our praise because, first and foremost, He is the Creator, right? He's the Creator of all things. He's the Creator. We are the created, right? The Creator has dominion over that which is created, yes, but there's so much more than just that. Don't get me wrong here. The fact that He is Creator and Master of the universe is enough to warrant our praise, our exclusive worship. But then, throughout the Old and New Testaments, we have account after account and instance after instance where God shows Himself to be so incredibly faithful. We could turn to so many places, but what I want to turn to today, this first day, is actually what I opened with yesterday when I preached, but it's Psalm 96. So take your Bibles and turn there with me. Psalm 96. Remember, if you open to the middle of your Bible, it's a pretty good chance that you're going to be in the book of Psalms. But we're going to be in the 96th Psalm. And I just want to read it because it is a succinct reminder of who God is and why He alone is worthy of your worship, worthy of your and my praise. All right? So Psalm 96, this is what it says. It says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing with joy. They will sing before the Lord. For he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. Now, again, so much of the Bible, you don't have to be some sort of Bible scholar. You don't have to have an English degree to understand what's being said here. It says what it means, and it means what it says. But even so, there are a few basic realities that the author points to that I've alluded to. But the first, again, is that the Lord is great, and his glory is unmatched. There is none beside the Lord. That's what it says in so many passages, again, throughout the Bible. 1 Chronicles 17, Exodus 15, 2 Samuel 7, 1 Samuel 2, Psalm 86, Isaiah 43. And the list goes on and on and on. No one is like God. Think about what we just read. Think about who he is, his power, the fact that he is omnipotent, that he is all-powerful, that there is nothing beyond his strength. There's no situation too complicated for him to solve, to work out. There's no situation that's too far removed from him. No, he is all-powerful. Nothing is too much for him. The fact that God is omniscient, which means that he is all-knowing. As someone once said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? And that's something to dwell on, right? You know, things come to our mind all the time. The light bulb goes on and we say, aha! But God has never said, aha, because he knows everything already. His knowledge is comprehensive. It is complete. He knows everything. So he's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's omnipresent. That means that he is everywhere. Always. There is not one corner of the universe that God is not already there. Again, it goes back to him being the creator over his creation. He has dominion. No one can compare to God because, again, everything is underneath him. But it isn't only his power and his might, you see, that the psalmist talks about there. It's his glory as well that makes him worthy alone of our praise. It's what the Lord has accomplished. Consider what the psalmist alludes to there. The fact that it's God that will judge. The fact that it is he alone that has shown himself to be all of these things that we've just talked about. Consider the redemptive plan of the Almighty God. The story of human existence really is relatively simple. Genesis 1 and 2, God created mankind. Genesis 3, mankind sins. And from that point on, God has been working out his plan of redemption, the pinnacle of which was sending his one and only Son. And we talked about this yesterday on Sunday morning, to serve as our sacrifice, to die on our behalf, then rise again, and then go back into heaven. That's the pinnacle of it. But even now, he is still working out his redemptive plan because he's building his church. And up until that time is complete, that's what God is going to be doing. And then we will have the consummation of Jesus' kingdom, of King Jesus, the kingdom of God, y'all, and in all of its splendor and majesty. God is doing all of these things. And so again, the question, why praise God? Because he alone is worthy of our praise. To worship anything else, it's just silly, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't make sense. Back to Psalm 96, again, if you look at, and I just lost it, but if you look at verse 4 and 5, let me go back there to it. If you look at verse 4 and 5, it says, "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Do you get what this is saying? To praise and worship anything or anyone else, it just doesn't make sense. And I tried to think of a good way to illustrate this. But let's say you really enjoy a particular musician or musical group, right? And I tried to think of somebody good and fitting. And my, as I said before, if anybody ever looks at my Pandora account, you'll throw me in the crazy house because it's so erratic. Everything from, well, really, I'm not even going to tell you. You name it that it's in there. But, yeah, I think about Andrea Bocelli that recently did his concert around Easter. Let's say that you really love opera, right? And you find out that he is flying to the United States despite the coronavirus, and he wants to come to your house and put on a personal show for you. He wants to meet with you personally and sing for you. That would be amazing, whether you like him or not, right? How ridiculous would it be, though? And it doesn't have to be him. Anybody, take whoever you want, right? Your favorite musician, your favorite performing artist, you find out that they want to come and they want to perform for you at your home or wherever you want. But instead of actually going and hearing them in person, you say, well, I'm just going to listen to their CD on my stereo. Because your rationale is, well, I really enjoy their music and I can hear it on my CD player, so why would I actually care about going through the trouble of seeing that performer in person? Y'all, that would be crazy, right? It would be insane. The CD is not what's important. It's the band, it's the performer that actually made the music. They're the creator. The CD is just a piece of plastic. Whoever actually made the music deserves the real adoration, not the physical object. Well, when we worship anything other than God, when we give praise to anything other than God, it's just as ludicrous as this hypothetical scenario I've laid out for you. Because God, again, He's the eternal one. He's the creator. That's what the psalmist is pointing to. Everything else is just an idol. Everything else is just temporary. Remember John 1. Nothing was made that wasn't made through the living word, Jesus Christ. So who really deserves praise? I've talked about the book of Hebrews quite a bit lately. And one of the things that the author of Hebrews does is he compares Jesus to Moses. And the author of Hebrews says, make no mistake about it. And if your Jeopardy question is who's the most faithful in all the scriptures, it says that Moses was the most faithful servant in all of God's house, right? That if you want to look at the most faithful characters in all of the scriptures, it's Moses. But then he takes it a step further and he says, but Jesus is the son over the house. And he talks about when you see a house, should you praise the house or should you praise the architect? Should you praise the builder, right? That's what we're dealing with here. It's Jesus that everything was made through. He's the agent of creation. And speaking of Jesus, there is another reason God alone deserves our praise. And I've already been alluding to this. We talked about Genesis. Let's go all the way to the very end. Turn to the book of Revelation with me. Revelation chapter 5. And don't worry if you've never been to Revelation. It's not scary. It's a beautiful picture of how God is going to work everything out. But the book of Revelation, and we're again in chapter 5. It opens with the letters to the churches. But then, starting in chapter 4, God reveals to John what the end of all things really looks like. Right? He reveals to John what is going to happen. And it's the end of things that consequently is also the beginning of all things because it's the consummation of the kingdom. But nevertheless, this is what's being revealed. A scene is described in heaven. When the end of time occurs, or when it's time for God's kingdom to come in its fullness. Look at chapter 5 with me, starting in verse 1. All right, it says, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Pause right there for just a second. Do you get the scene that's playing out here? The time has come for the consummation. The time has come for God's kingdom to come down in all of its fullness. That means that the time has come. What's being described here is it's time for pain as we know it to cease. It's time for everything that's wrong with the world to be made new again. And so they have this scroll, and when you open the scroll, that's when everything commences. And so they're looking everywhere to find somebody who can open the scroll. They look in heaven, nobody. They look in earth, nobody. They look under the earth. Can't find anybody that is worthy to open the scroll. And so as we just read, John, who is viewing this in this revelation, he's weeping. It says that he wept and wept. No time is given here. Don't know how long. But this is bitterness. This is ultimate sorrow because no one is there to open the scroll. But then, look at verse 5. Continue on in verse 5 with me. It says, "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.' Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." Now, there's a whole lot going on here in this passage. I understand that. We're not even going to get into it. But I want to point to something that I've been alluding to already. And it's this concept of worthiness. When it comes right down to worship, there is only one who is worthy. And he is not worthy by virtue of his station, though that would be enough. He is not worthy based solely on power, though that would be enough to command praise. No. He is worthy because of what he has done. He is worthy because he alone is God. Jesus Christ alone, the Lamb that was slain. In what he did, he has earned our praise forever and ever. He and he alone. And when you compare what anybody else has done to what Jesus did, well then, it ought to show you that yet again, it's just silly to praise anybody other than him. But also, it's just downright wrong. No one compares to King Jesus. While we were still sinners, he died for us. He considered equality with God not something to be grasped, but he offered himself up. He alone is worthy. Now, let me ask you. do you praise the Lord? Do you see why praising Him is so important? If you belong to Him, oh, I surely hope so. If you don't belong to Him, turn to Him today. And if you have any questions or you want to ask me anything or whatever, write me and we'll talk. But He alone is worthy. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that we have such great cause for praise, that it's not just a matter of You being the Creator and we being the created, though that would be enough. We see so many times in Your Word, and certainly evidenced here in the passage we've just read, that You are worthy of our praise because You are our Redeemer. You have done everything for us. You and You alone deserve our praise. So help me. Help me to praise You. Help me not to turn away to others, to false gods, to idols, but instead to keep my focus on You. And if there are any else that desire it, please do the same for them. For those that do not know You, please draw them to Yourself and help them to see that You alone are worthy. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you for being here with me today. I hope that you have a very blessed week, and I hope, Lord willing, to be back with you again tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. And I hope that you will be here with me or whenever you happen across this. Until then, may the Lord bless you richly. We'll see you soon.